Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Hello and welcome to Beauty Inside Out. I'm your host, Kimberly Snyder, nutritionist, wellness expert, and author. On this podcast, I share my experiences, insights, and knowledge with you on health, beauty, personal development, and wellness. Every week, we have interviews with amazing pioneers in their fields. So joining me in the conversation every week is also my dear friend, Tony, who is a health researcher out of Stanford. Hey, beauties. Before we get started today, I wanted to let you know that on today's show, you will learn how to get access to $60 in free organic grocery credits from Thrive Market. Stay tuned for all the details later in the show. Hey, beauties. Welcome back. Hey, T. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. Thank you.
Well, today, T, I'm excited to talk about wine, red wine, because, you know, this is a lifestyle we always talk about. And for many of us, having some drinks, some cocktails, some wine, as we're talking about today, is just part of life. And, you know, not when we're cleansing or doing a set cleanse, obviously, but in our life, we're going to have some drinks here and there for many of us. Let's talk about wine tea. First of all, do you like wine? Do you drink it yourself?
I've had it, and I could see why people like appreciate it. I don't have like the super exquisite palate around wine, and so it's not something that I can say that like, oh, I crave or do often. But there have been times even when I've been out to dinner, or I think even with you, where I was like, fun or whatever. I've tried it, and then I can see how it's nice. But it's not something that I do regularly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Speaking for myself, I don't drink wine all the time, but I do definitely like a glass, you know, especially with dinner or if I'm out at an event or, mm-hmm. you know, I was at a party a couple of days ago and I had a glass of wine and it was nice. It was fun, you know?
Yeah. 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 For me, it would be more on the social side too. You know, or going out to dinner, like you said, or a party or something like that. But I generally wouldn't drink it at home. But I think it's interesting because like one of the things we're going to discuss is like, yeah, what is it? How good is it for you? Is there, you know, do you need, you know, should we like feel like we need to drink it for a healthy heart or for X, Y, and Z mm-hmm. benefits? Like there's all these questions around it.
Yes, exactly. Like, so my position was always like, oh, well, we can get resveratrol, we can get some of these other nutrients from acai or chocolate or other
yes.
things. I also want to say right off the bat, T, that it's really hard to get organic wine, biodynamic wine sometimes when you're out. And grapes are one of the most pesticide spray crops. So there's that concern as well with pesticides.
Yeah, the pesticides and then like sulfites and some of the other, other issues that can come along with wine that isn't, you know, more on the pure side.
Well, but what do you think? Like, you know, there is research around the antioxidants in red wine. Should we be drinking it for health, or is it more like, you know, it's the lesser evil of alcohol, but you can get the nutrients from other sources? What do you think, T?
Yeah, it's a good question. One of the things I think one of the things that happens with it, and this is like maybe not the most popular opinion, is that I think people just like wine, and a lot of the research and these ideas like, oh, well, it's good for your heart, it's good for your heart, is
right.
like we use it as a justification. Like you said, those polyphenols are present in a lot of other things that don't have any downsides, whether it be pesticides or sulfites or even mm-hmm. alcohol is still a, you know, at a small, in a smaller amounts, it's not like a huge toxin. If you're just in a glass of wine, that's really not a big toxic burden, but it still is a toxin. And one of the research kind of things that we linked to was basically that people who have a drink a day, now it was less so with red wine, but still like if people have a drink a day, like every day, generally have a much higher risk for like liver cirrhosis and issues.
Mm. With that even just one drink a day?
Yeah. Even just one drink a day.
Wow.
Yeah. Now that was like primarily like when you had hard alcohol every day, like one drink of hard alcohol every day, the risk was much higher. With beer, it was less, and then with red wine, it was even less mm-hmm. still. So it does speak to red wine being healthier than like hard drinks, but still, there was more risk having one glass of wine a day than not having alcohol at all in terms of like liver health and cirrhosis and stuff.
Yes, and I read some of the studies that you sent to, and it was, this really interesting piece about is red wine good for you or not, it exactly alluding to what you said. We want to think it's good because it is fun to drink wine, of course, and we are going to drink it sometimes. But the reality is that there is a lot of things in wine that, is not the best thing in the world. And so we can get it from other sources. That being said, T, there is, this aspect of wellness, which I strongly believe in, which is about enjoying life. And if it, you want to relax sometimes and you want to laugh and enjoy your dinner and your time with your friends, I think that is so great for your wellness. And so, sometimes that can't be measured as much as like antioxidants or polyphenols, mm-hmm. but that is also a huge part of wellness. So it can be part of that element of just enjoying your life. And that's huge.
Yeah, that's, I believe that 1,000,000%. And I remember, I really wish I had the link to this. I don't have it, but I was at this talk one time, this Donald Epstein, he's like the creator of this form of chiropractic. And he was talking about this research where they studied some of the, like this really happy culture. It was like one of the happiest cultures in the world. And they had a very, very good health. And when they looked at, he's like, you would think that they would be these like raw food, yogi, super duper, whatever. And he's like, when you look at them, they were like, it was actually this group of Italians where they had like wine and they enjoyed their food mm-hmm. and their meals. And it was like very communal and they had close family connections and like all these other things that were really about joy and happiness and experience and pleasure and being free and all these things. So that is, you're right. Like that's a huge part of wellness. And if we become too austere mm-hmm. and go into like deprivation out of like, strictness or purity, then that has a negative effect on our health too.
Exactly. And I know, T, anytime I'm in a, out or whether it's dinner or get together or whatever, and I feel like drinking wine, I'm going to drink wine, yes. Like I'm not going to sit there and be like, oh gosh, I shouldn't have this. Like I do think, enjoyment and having fun and being relaxed is important. And that just feels good for me and my body. And everybody has to, you guys have to really feel what feels great in your own body. But I will say, when I can, of course I try. If we're going to a party, we went to a birthday party the other night and we did bring a bottle of wine and I did bring organic wine that I would rather drink. So when there is a choice to drink organic, with no added sulfites, which are of course preservatives, I make my best effort, but the average restaurant doesn't often have organic wine, unfortunately. So we're just going to have to make that choice if and when we do want to drink, knowing, okay, this is going to have pesticides and this isn't, there's that balance, but I really want to drink this and enjoy it. And so when I drink, I do enjoy, and that's the choice we make.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree completely. And actually, one of the things you just made me think of something, and I'll link to it. And actually, the name is eluding me, but I'll make sure I include this research. There is a kind of wine that I know this one health person had linked to or mentioned before that is like lower in sugar and actually has no sulfites and is organic and biodynamic and all these things that is supposed to be like the quote unquote like healthiest wine. And so I think, people who are listening to this might be interested in something like that too. Just like if you're at home and you want a glass of wine, or like you said, I think that's an amazing tip. Like if you're going to a party or going to an outing and you know that there might be like less healthy sources of alcohol there, then you could just bring something like that. So I will find that kind of wine and I'll link to that too in the notes, because I think that's kind of cool.
That is awesome. Yeah, it's good to have that on hand. Like, anytime you're bringing a bottle, like drink something you want to drink, just like, to a picnic or a brunch, you could bring food you want to eat. So I love that, tea. So, as far as amount, it's not like a, like you said, if you have it every single day, it's probably not the best thing for your liver, although countries like Italy, they have wine every day, T.
Sure, and the French, there's like the French paradox, which is mentioned in one of the links where, you know, they have wine every day and they have good heart health. And so who knows?
Yeah. But the takeaway is that, yes, there's antioxidants. Yes, there's great things in wine, but you can actually get them from other sources. So we don't necessarily say, oh, you have to drink wine for the health benefits. You can get it from, you know, acai, eat blueberries, have dark chocolate, you know, whatever. But if you do want to enjoy wine, you know, really enjoy it when you have it consciously, try to get organic and without added sulfites when possible. But don't think that you have to have a drink every day for health reasons is basically what we're saying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And have, you know, have a diet high in polyphenols and then just drink wine because you enjoy it or it's pleasurable or it's fun or it's social.
What are the other great sources of polyphenols, Tabe? You know, dark chocolate. We talked about acai.
Yeah, all berries are extremely high.
Cherries.
Yeah, cherries.
Raspberries.
Blueberries, raspberries. Yeah, all of those are really high. There's a lot of like superfoods now.
Chia seeds, right?
Yeah, chia seeds. Greens are actually really high. Anything colored. I mean, you've talked about this in all your books. Anything colored is very rich in antioxidants. And so the more diversity of color that you get into your diet, the more kind of diversity of polyphenols that you're going to get.
Yes. So enjoy wine when you want to, but, you know, don't when you don't want to. And, you know, life is about balance. We say progress, not perfection. Enjoy. And, you know, maybe one time I'll run into you guys out somewhere and you'll see me drinking a glass of wine. We can toast together and it's all good. It's all okay.
Yeah,
just don't want to overdo it. But yes, we have room to enjoy wine.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, T, for this great research. So remember, beauties, to check out the show notes if you want to read a little bit more about wine and you're interested in this topic. It's all there for you. Please don't go anywhere. We have an amazing interview for you right after the break. Okay, beauties, it's time to let you in on today's amazing bonus that I mentioned earlier in the show. Everyone knows how much I stress buying organic, non-GMO products whenever possible. Yet I know it's tough sometimes as it can be expensive and doesn't always fit easily into our budgets. But Thrive Market is revolutionizing the online marketplace and making healthy living easier and more affordable for everyone. At Thrive Market, you can shop for thousands of the best-selling non-GMO foods and natural products at 25 to 50% below traditional retail prices. They also carry Thrive Market's signature brand products made from the highest quality ingredients at even lower discounted prices. You can get everything you need, non-GMO foods, snacks, vitamins, supplements, personal care products, organic baby food, and much more. And it's all conveniently shipped straight to your door in just 2 days. What I also love is how easy they make shopping by letting you filter the site by your dietary preferences. Whether you are gluten-free, vegan, kosher, ketogenic, or whatever, you can shop for over 90 different values. So no more reading labels, because Thrive Market does the homework for you with their highly curated catalog. You might only find 3 to 4 options for each product, but you can trust they're the best, safest ingredients at the most affordable prices. So here's the great part. All of my listeners today can take advantage of receiving a total of $60 of free organic grocery credits, plus free shipping and a free 30-day trial membership. Keep in mind that Thrive prices are already 25 to 50% below retail, and you get $60 of free groceries. Go to thrivemarket.com/insideout. Who doesn't love paying $30 for $50 of groceries at the already discounted prices with free delivery right to your doorstep? Again, go to thrivemarket.com/insideout to take advantage of this amazing savings today.
Hey guys, this is Sheena Shea from Vanderpump Rules, and I want to invite you to the party I'm throwing every week, my new podcast, Shenanigans. I'm going to be getting into some crazy conversations with friends like my first guest, Ariana Maddox. We're cranking it up to 11, playing games, telling juicy stories, and holding nothing back as we get into some Sheena-level nanigans. That's why it's called Shenanigans, duh. So download new episodes every Tuesday starting March 6th on the Podcast One app at podcastone.com. And don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
Hey, beauties, welcome back. I'm super excited to introduce you today to Scott Harrison, who's the founder and CEO of Charity Water, a nonprofit organization bringing clean and safe drinking water to people in developing nations. Scott, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
I understand you guys have been around for 11 years, and so far you've brought safe, clean water to 7.3 million people in 24 countries around the world, which is incredible.
It actually is now 8.2 million. We did another million last year.
Wow. Wow. So tell us, how did you get interested in clean water? How were you inspired to start this company?
Well, I was actually a nightclub promoter in New York City for 10 years. So bizarre path, I guess, into the humanitarian space. I was raised in New Jersey. My mom was really sick growing up, so I was in a caregiver role as a kid, and you know, very Christian, kind of conservative household. And then at 18, I went completely nuts and found New York City, grew my hair down to my shoulders, joined a band, started smoking two packs a day, gambling, drinking, and eventually found a job as a nightclub promoter. And couldn't believe that someone would actually pay me to destroy my body for 10 years. So
party all night and bring all the fun people in.
Exactly. It was models and bottles for about 10 years. So, you know, it was, I'm kind of joking about it now, but it was, you know, it was a very glamorous life, throwing fashion parties, flying around the world to Milan and Paris. And, you know, we were working at, my business partner and I were working at probably 40 high-end nightclubs over a decade. But it's actually a pretty destructive lifestyle, right? You go to dinner at 10, the club at 12, and you know, after hours at 5. And I basically had picked up every vice that one might imagine would come with the territory of 10 years of partying in New York. And at 28 years old, found myself that I'd really become the worst person I knew. I was this selfish, hedonistic sycophant who did nothing for anybody else and, you know, was out wasted every night. And I had come so far from the spirituality, the morality, you know, the foundation that I'd been brought up with, and just wanted to make a big change. So I was in South America and had this epiphany on kind of the perfect vacation that I needed to walk 180 degrees in the other direction. I needed to, you know, explore the exact opposite of my life. And the only idea I had would be to try to serve the poor and try and use my gifts in the service of others. So I at 28 years old, after 10 years of partying, I start applying to the famous humanitarian organizations I've heard of, like UNICEF and Save the Children. And I'm denied by everybody. Nobody will even let me volunteer. So finally, I mean, right, a nightclub promoter, how would I in any way be useful to their serious humanitarian missions? So finally, one organization says to me, if I'm willing to pay them $500 a month and I'm willing to go live in Liberia, West Africa, that I could volunteer with them. So I pay them $500 a month on my credit card, and I go from New York City to, at the time, the poorest country in the world. A country with no electricity, no running water, no sewage system that had been broken after 14 years of civil war led by children that had been armed by Charles Taylor. So, yeah, I mean, it was an amazing place and everything was shot up. And there was one doctor for every 50,000 people in Liberia. Wow. In America, there's a doctor for every 180 of us. So, you know, I saw a lot of things there, but I came across the water crisis. I saw people for the first time in my life drinking dirty water. And, you know, I was a guy that bought sparkling water and we sold it in clubs, you know, to people who would buy a bunch of bottles and not even open them. And I couldn't believe that human beings were dying drinking from ponds and rivers.
All the diseases, all the waterborne bacteria, everything.
You got it. I learned that 52% of all disease throughout the developing world is caused by bad water and a lack of sanitation. So I kind of came back after 2 years of service with my issue. Could I work to bring clean drinking water to everybody in the world and you know, or die trying and lead a revolution, a movement of generosity and compassion where we make sure everybody alive, no matter where they're born, no matter what condition they were born into, at least has clean water to drink every day. And then as I was doing that, I started talking with my friends, and I had the advantage of coming from outside the philanthropic system. So I just knew a bunch of cynical people who were not giving to charity because they didn't trust charities. So my friends are like, I don't give to charities. They're black holes. I don't know where my money goes. I don't know how much it's actually going to reach the people that need it. And
some charities, the people are getting paid like huge salaries and all this crazy stuff you hear about sometimes that can be a little bit disconcerting.
Yeah. And they're, you know, they're, everybody seemed to have a scandal or, you know, some sort of story in their back pocket of charity gone wrong. And you know, I learned that 42% of Americans don't trust charities and 70% of Americans think charities waste money. So I, you know, at the same time as trying to, the mission was going to be to lead a movement that ended the water crisis in my lifetime. But I also wanted to create a completely different way to do charity, a completely new business model. And we had some big ideas, you know, at the beginning, now 11 years ago. One was to always use 100% of the public's money, 100% of all donations to directly fund water projects. And we opened up a separate bank account. So I raise with a small team all of the overhead completely separately from 130 families, so that now over 1 million people have been able to give in the purest way. So if someone gives $10 or $1,000, 100% goes. We even pay back the credit card transaction fees. So if you give $100 on your American Express, unfortunately, Amex takes $4 and I get 96. But we actually make up that $4 difference and we send your intended $100 to the field. So the 100% model was kind of the big first idea. The second was just to use the technology available to prove where the donation is going, where the money is going, follow the money. And we started putting up every water point on Google Earth and Google Maps so people could see satellite images of the wells as they're being built and the photos of people drinking clean water.
So I was going to ask you, so it's wells, you guys are taking teams in and building wells in, you know, different villages and different places where people can access the water.
It's 11 different technologies now. So wells being one of the 11 different technologies, water, gravity fed systems, bio sand filters, huge solar powered, deep well systems. We do rainwater harvesting systems. We do spring protections, and then some carbon UF and UV filtering. So yeah, we've always taken a solution agnostic approach. A lot of times there is clean groundwater and a well is an amazing solution that helps hundreds of people in a sustainable way. But sometimes you can't drill or dig for water. So yeah, so that was it. You know, can we prove to people where the money was going? And then I just wanted to build a really beautiful brand that felt more like Nike or Apple or Virgin, you know, than the typical shame and guilt inspired brands that most charities, you know, kind of take on. You know, you remember those TV commercials with the kids and flies landing on their face and slow motion and the 800 number crawls across the screen. And we wanted to do the opposite. We wanted to inspire people to give and to help, you know, their fellow men and women across the world, you know, to be good neighbors, to reach out using our time and our talent and our service in the benefit of others, and then showing people, you know, the actual fruit, the result of that that money. So that was kind of the business model. And then we worked through locals. We said, let's never send anybody that looks like me to India or to Bangladesh or to Malawi to drill a well. We'll raise the awareness and money. We'll get people to care about this issue. But then the work has to be led by the locals to be sustainable. Mm-hmm. So today, Charity Water's work is led by about 1,500 people on the ground that would all be indigenous to the countries that we're working in.
Wow. And so then funding gets sent there, you know, to maintain the wells or whatever the different systems are for the clean water and just making sure that it's ongoing and using locals to work throughout that entire process.
Yeah. So we actually won a grant from Google a few years back to develop a sensor that we can actually put on a well now. And we'll know not only that it continues to work years in advance, but actually how much water is flowing every day. So, you know, this is not across the whole portfolio yet. We piloted it with 3,500 wells in Ethiopia, and we're getting billions of liters of data now. So I can log on now to a well that was built 7 years ago by a donor and tell you yesterday how much clean water was pumped, you know, what, 7 years later. God. So yeah, and at the same time,
You said
25,000. Yeah, we've done 25,000 so far. The pilot sensor project had 3,500 wells. We're about to roll out another few thousand.
Wow, that is amazing. And so you've mentioned Africa a lot. Are you also in Asia?
Yeah, we have a huge program in Bangladesh, in India, 5 states in India, all throughout Nepal in the rural areas. Cambodia is a huge program. So, yes, you know, about 2/3 of the people without access to clean water are living, about 1/3 are living in India, about 1/3 are in Southeast Asia, and 1/3 are in Sub-Saharan Africa.
Mm. Any plans to go to the Philippines?
We haven't yet. You know, we've stuck with the lowest income countries. And, you know, there's definitely some water scarcity in the Philippines, just not quite as bad as some of the other areas where we're working.
And that's just a personal interest, because my mother's from the Philippines, Scott, and there was 2 incidences of her, you know, there was 6 children, 8 children, 6 survived, 2 were, died as in infancy. And I'm not sure if it was related to water born disease or not, but anyways.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, it's possible. I mean, you know, 4,500 kids are dying every day, and a lot of the children are dying of diarrhea. Mm-hmm. And you know, people ask, well, how could someone die of diarrhea, right? You'd go to the Duane Reade and you'd buy the blue, you know, Pedialyte stuff, right? But it's actually, you're dying of dehydration, because the mother is giving the same bad water to the child that they can't keep in their body in the first place. And they literally like die of dehydration. It's horrible. It's completely preventable.
I remember being, I once back in the day when I graduated from college and I saved some money, I ended up backpacking around the world for 3 years, and I was camping across Africa for about 7 months. And I remember one day just coming out of this little market in Zimbabwe, and there was all these children, and all they wanted was something to drink. They wanted water. They wanted orange juice. I gave them everything I could, but I remember this like extreme, like this pit in my stomach, like, oh my gosh, like these kids are thirsty. Like this is a huge, 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 huge problem. So it's amazing that you're creating these incredible systems in place, these organized systems to keep the water flowing literally for all these families and all these children everywhere.
Yeah. As you said, it's a solvable problem. It's funny. I just finished writing a book that I've been working on for 13 months, and that's the title. Oh. I turned it in this week. It's called Thirst.
Congratulations.
So you're prophetic.
And does it talk about, is it a memoir talking about your experiences in the business?
It is, yeah. And then a lot of stories from building the organization and what we're seeing in the field. You know, there's a story in the book about a 13-year-old girl that I came across in Ethiopia who'd been walking with she'd been walking 8 hours every single day, carrying 40 pounds of water on her back. And one day after her 8-hour walk, and, you know, she's getting up and before dawn, and then, you know, going down this terrible ravine to an unsafe, unprotected source, and then waiting for hours. So she's finally done this long journey, and right before she reaches her house, she slips and falls, and she breaks her pot, and she spills her water, and she hangs herself from a tree.
So the
village elders find a 13-year-old girl's body hanging from a tree with a noose around her neck, because she didn't want to go back for more water. Just couldn't do it anymore. And I actually lived in this village and met her mom and the girl that walked with her that day, who was her best friend. And I saw her grave, and I took a picture of the tree and stood under that tree. There's a lot of stories. There's much happier stories in the book too. People are like, I would never go and read that.
I hear that, and it's just like, how can we help? How can we get involved? All of us that are listening to this right now, how can we support the project?
Well, we have an amazing community that's been growing now to people in 94 countries around the world. It's called The Spring. Mm. And it's people basically that say, okay, I'm in. People should have clean drinking water. You're going to use 100% of my donations. I'm going to be able to see where they go. Okay, I can sign up for that. And they give every month. So we basically said, could we build a subscription program for Pure Good? In the same way that you know, the average person listening has 10 subscriptions, right? You do the math in your head. You've got your Spotify or Apple Music. You have Dropbox. Yeah. You have HBO, Netflix, right? Cinemax, the magazines you subscribe to, the newspapers you subscribe to, maybe YouTube Red. And we said, could we create a pure subscription program where 100% of the money gets people clean water every single month? And could we build a community of people, you know, who won't just drive by and you know, donate 10 or 50 bucks once, but would actually stick with us monthly. So it's called The Spring. It's you know, we have people giving as little as $10 a month. We have people giving $100 a month. It costs us exactly $30 to give one person clean water on average. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so it's a couple Netflixes, right, a month to get one human being every single month access to clean water. And I think we set up just an actual way for your community to learn more about that. I think it's just charitywater.org/insideout. And there's a video as well with just some of the images that we're seeing out there. And as well, like, what clean water means, you know, if I told a story of a 13-year-old girl dying, I should probably tell a story of what it means when someone gets clean water. And there's a beautiful woman in Uganda. Her name was Helen Apio, and she got clean water from a charity water project. And when we went into her village and we said, how is your life different now, Helen? You don't have to walk anymore. You could take all the water that you want right near your house. And she said, you know, for the first time in my life, she said it this way. She said, I am beautiful. Mm-hmm. And we said, what do you mean? She said, well, I never had enough water to wash my face and my clothes and my body before. And I would always use the water for my family, for my children and my husband. And now I can keep myself clean. And she said, mm-hmm. I'm looking so smart. I'm feeling so good.
Change your life.
You know, water means health. Water means better education. It means dignity. It means cleanliness. It's, you know, it's just such a rich, amazing thing to be able to provide. It's still a tenth of the world lacks, 660 million people. Wow. So I would encourage and invite people to learn about The Spring. And, you know, even if someone could only give $30 a month or $10 a month, it really matters. The act of kind of, you know, connecting to an organization faithfully, you know, loyalty is in scarce. It's not found so much these days. And you know, that's what's amazing about this community of people just saying, we will continue fighting alongside until everybody on earth has clean water.
Wow.
I would invite your community into that. And, you know, again, it'd be amazing to even, we'd be able to track that. So we'd be able to tell you how people responded and the impact and how many people got clean water. So people could just check out charitywater.org/insideout. I think we made it just for you.
charitywater.org/insideout. Beauties, we're going to please go, please support this amazing, amazing organization. And we're going to link to it in the show notes if you guys forgot the exact link, but please be part of it. I'm going to sign up myself, Scott, as soon as we hang up. I'm so inspired. I think your vision and what you've created, what you've manifested in the world is unbelievable. So thank you so much for being here with us today. This has been so inspiring.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me, and all the best. We really appreciate letting us tell the story.
All the best, and all the best, beauties. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Please check out the link. Please be part of Charity Water, their wonderful, wonderful mission, helping so many people around the world. And have a wonderful rest of your day, beauties. Take great care of yourself, and we'll see you back here on Thursday. Okay, beauties, I will be back with you on Thursday for my Q&A session show where I answer questions from the Beauty Detox community. To submit your question, please go to KimberlySnyder.com/AskKimberly. Thanks so much and see you again soon. And always remember, progress, not perfection, as true beauty comes from the inside out.